Begin the current daf, Masechtas Erech and daf Hey. Begin on the bottom of Dalma page, three lines up in the bottom of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, we were explaining a Braisa that had many different teachings from the Pesukim in the Parash of Erechim. And one of the teachings went as follows. It says in the Pasuk B'hoye Erkecha, which is a ribuy, an added terminology over here in the Pasuk, which the Braisa says is coming to include the Ntumtum V'Andreginus for Damim, which is regarding a monetary vow. Which, although the Pasuk actually told about Erechin, but as Rashi explains, because it's not including Tum de Vadreginus that they're Nerachin, because we already said they're not, because Hazachar says has to be definitive, a male or a female, and Tum de Vadreginus is doubtful gender, so we're not including them that they're Nerachin, but they could be the subject of a monetary vow. Which the Gemara asks, monetary vow? They're not going to be less than a tree. If you're giving the monetary value of a tree even to Hektish, of course it's going to be the subject. Why would Tum de Vadreginus be worse than that? So Rav explained the halacha that we're telling, of course they're going to be the subject of a monetary vow, but it's regarding that they're nidun b'chvoidai, regarding that if you vow a limb of their body, which the whole soul depends on, the head or the liver, something that's integral for the person's life, that it's as if one took a vow of the whole person and happens to give the whole value of that term about dragness. Because you would have thought to say, the pasuk says, ned b'erkecha, compares nedarim, which is monetary vows, to erichin, whoever has Erechin is nidun b'chvaydeh, because that's where the source of nefashis is learnt out, that we're davar ha-shahaneshamat liyabai. But regarding Tum d'Vadreginus that are not the subject of the Erechin, that they wouldn't be nidun b'chvaydeh, that's the chiddush that we're saying, that we learn that from Vahaya Erkecha, that they are. However, Abaye asked from a different halacha that you see that no, that someone that's not in the parasha of Erechin is not nidun b'chvaydeh, as he brought a braisa, where you see clearly that since they're not Nerechin, so they're not nidun b'chvaydeh. Which actually Rav responded back, and he says, what do you mean? You have a case over there of Eved that is in the parasha of Erechin and still not nidun b'chvaydeh. So then how do you understand the Braisa? So Rav says, no, the Braisa is not difficult, because the Braisa is talking about kachi mizbeach, where he says, let's say the head, which is something that neshama tluya by, of the donkey or of the slave, should be for its monies to be used to purchase a carbon olah. There, we're not going to say nidin mechvaydeh that, okay, now I have to give the whole value of that slave. Because when does it say the word nefashis, which is where the source of the halacha, of that it's the soul that's the main thing, and then it's like that's the whole value of the person. That's written in the parsha of Erechin. Erechin is something that, where does that money go to? Goes to kachim b'degabayis, to the temple upkeep. But kachim mizbeach, we don't have the halacha. Therefore, you're going to only give the value of the head. But what we were talking about, that it's going to be nidin mechvaydeh, even by, let's say, tumtum, was talking about where a person took a vow of kachay bedek abayis. And that's where the source is brought, in the parasha of Erechin, which is kachay bedek abayis. They will say, yeah, even tumtum vadreginus, even though it's not in the parasha of Erechin, it's going to have the halacha of the whole person's value being given to the kachay bedek abayis. Now that's why Gemara continues and says, okay, so b'mayikim, so what do you explain the halacha of the Braisa that it doesn't contradict the halacha that you were saying? And anyways, we have to explain that because one of the cases is in the parasha of Erechin of Avadim. You said something about kachim mizbeach. And by kachim mizbeach, regarding a monetary sanctity, you can use those monies to buy something that's sacrificed in mizbeach, then we don't say this halacha of nidin b'chvaydeh. However, Eima Sefer, let's look at the end of the Braisa. The Braisa said, v'loyed, not only that, even if we say the head of this cow is going to be hektish, because we had explained a cow was different in the case of the donkey and the slave, where although they become equal partners, however, regarding the head of the cow is different when you sell it to a person, where no, you're only selling him the head, as Rav Papa had explained, because the head of a cow is sold individually. So when you say the head, you mean literally just the head. So we said, not only that, but even when it's regards to the laws of hektish, in hektish el reish, hektish only gets the head of the cow, because that's what you will makdish. However, amai, why is this? If you're saying that the case of the Braisa is discussing that it has the sanctity of kachim mizbeach, tifshit kedush bekula, if you marked this just the head to be sacrificed for its value on the mizbeach, then the whole sanctity should actually spread throughout the whole animal, and the whole animal should be sanctified for hekdesh, since this type of animal, cow, is valid, and that's what the sanctity you're doing it for, is it's valid for the mizbeach. Because Mili Tanya, didn't we learn the halacha in the following Braisa? Braisa says as follows. Even if someone says the continuing type of heim and alf, ragla shel zu oila, doesn't make the whole animal carbon oila. It says the leg of this animal should be a carbon oila. Says the Braisa, so yachal tehei kul oila. You would think, okay, now the whole animal is a carbon oila, a totally burnt sacrifice. Tambalem, and that's the pasuk teaching of Yikra. It says, kol asher yitin mimenu lashem yikadish. Whatever one will give from it to Hashem will be sanctified. Which sounds like mimenu kaidish. You could have a situation where only from it will be sanctified, V'lekula kodesh, and not the whole thing will be sanctified. So therefore, only the leg will be sanctified. Now, to the nyochel teitz l'chulin, you would think, okay, so then it's, if the whole thing is not sanctified, then the whole animal is unconsecrated and it has no sanctity whatsoever. No, it says it will be, which means behaviyasate, that it will maintain its level of existence, meaning of sanctity. So okay, so how does this come out? So says the Braisa, Timokir Litzarcha Eilus. What you do is you sell this animal for people that need karbonis eila. And with the melchulin, the person who's selling the animal, the monies that he's getting from those proceeds are unconsecrated because he didn't sanctify the whole body of the animal. Chutz midmei oisei evishabai, except for the monetary value of that limb that he sanctified, for that he doesn't get monies, because since on that leg he had a physical sanctity, so he's not allowed to sell it. And if he sells it, it's not considered sold because it's not his, it's a carbon oila. That leg is oila. Now, since it cannot go out to chulin because it's unblemished, so therefore the sanctity is only going to take effect on that leg. However, the sanctity is not going to take effect on the money of that limb because it's a carbon oila. Now, since it's not going, it's not being deconsecrated, that the value of that leg, because it's unblemished, and unblemished carbon oila, and in this regard, the leg of the carbon oila, that's something that it cannot be deconsecrated, so therefore the sanctity cannot take effect on the money of that limb, so therefore it can't be sold. It's something that that leg maintains its sanctity as it is, and therefore he's not selling it. Now, if one's going to wonder, then the one who's buying it for a carbon oila, essentially, he's bringing a carbon oila, he's missing a limb, because that limb is not his. It's the sanctity of the oila that the other person sanctified. So the Gemara actually, in first parak in Tumurat of Yad Alva Mabeis, asks this question and answers and says, it would be told in the case, you're selling it to a person who had said, I'm taking upon myself to bring an carbon oila, that are the limbs that the life of it depends on, which that excludes the leg, because one could have the bottom of the leg missing and still live, and therefore that wouldn't preempt, that wouldn't make it problematic for his carbon oila. He could buy that oila which that person had just sanctified, just the leg. Now, this is the Rebbe Meir, which is again that sanctity maintains just the leg. They say, no. Where do we know that if someone says, I want the leg of this carbon, of this animal to be a carbon oila, shakula oila, the whole animal comes a carbon oila? Tamalema, that's the pasuk says, the way they learn it is kala sheyitim mimenu lashem yiyakodesh, whatever will be from it for Hashem, which sounds like if you only sanctify part of it, yiyakodesh will be holy, which is l'rabbis is kula. The yi is coming to say that actually that it manifests in the whole animal, all of it will be sanctified. Now says the Gemara, la filaman do amar, even according to Reb Meir, the first opinion that says in kula oila that you're right, the whole animal does not become an oila, it's only the leg that is. That's only when what the person sanctified was only something that the whole soul of the animal is not contingent, not dependent on that. As the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Tumurat of Yad Alva Mabeis explains, that the whole machlekes remain to be hudah is only in something like a leg that the neshama is not tluya by, like from the knee and down. But even he would agree that something that if you makdish like the head that the whole animal's life depends on, that kachakula, the whole sanctity takes effect in the whole animal. So then how are you explaining that, Bryce? So that the reason why it's not manifesting in the whole animal and the whole person that the person was makdish for Kedushas Mizbeach is because we're talking about where he was only sanctifying that head. But if you're saying it's Kedushas Mizbeach, then it should manifest. Like we see over here, the head is something that the Vashana Shalom Etzloiba, and everyone holds that it should be mispashed, it should be manifest. So it's Gemara Lekash, it's not difficult. Why? This price that we're quoting now that says that, yeah, if you're sanctifying Kedushas Mizbeach, even if it's just one limb, but it's only Shanashem Etzloiba, it's going to spread throughout the whole, and the whole animal is going to be sanctified. That's b'kedushas haguf. That's when you literally make a physical sanctity in the animal, like the case that we described. We makdish and kedushas haguf, when you say, this head of this animal, I want to bring as a carbon oila. So then, that spreads throughout the whole animal. But the braisa previously that we were explaining, that says that if you're makdish of a kedushas mizbech, the head of the cow, that the mizbech only gets the monetary value of the head of the cow, that's talking about b'kedushas damim. He sanctified it for its monetary value, where he said like this. He didn't say the head of this animal is going to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, that it should have Kedushas Mizbeach. He said that the head of this animal, its monetary value should be used to buy a carbon oila. Because what's the other cases that it mentions over there in the Braisa? A slave, a donkey. There's no physical sanctity that you're actually going to sacrifice a donkey's head or a person's head on the Mizbeach. We obviously know you mean to say its monetary value will be used to purchase. And so to the case of the cow. And therefore, that's why it's different. A Kedusha's dumb will not be manifest in the whole animal. You're right, Kedusha's Mizbeach, they're both being used towards the Kedusha's Mizbeach. But is it a Kedusha's Aguf? Then it'll spread throughout. Kedusha's dumb, then it won't. But that the Gemara continues asking. But Vamar Hu the Amr, but the master himself, Rava, he himself says in the first pack of Mesechtas Tumur Davi Rava Mepes, that Makdish Zachar, if someone sanctifies a male, a ram, which is fit to be brought as a carbon oilah, and he sanctifies it Lidamav, for its monetary value to be used the proceeds to purchase a carbon oilah, that Kadosh Kedusha Zaguv, that it does have a physical sanctity, and that it itself will be sacrificed as a carbon oilah. Why? Because it's what's called a migui, that since it takes effect on this animal, a monetary sanctity, so it'll take effect on it already a physical sanctity, because since ultimately this animal itself is fit to be sacrificed, so then it transfers and transposes into a physical sanctity. So then the difficulty then here is also, when you say the head of the cow should be ledimei oila for the monetary value to be used as to buy a carbon oila, so then say it should be transposed into a physical sanctity because a cow is fit to be brought as a carbon itself, and then there should be tifshit kedusha bekula. Then there should have physical sanctity and then spread throughout the whole cow. Like we say, when you make actual kedusha saguf on the head, then it spreads throughout. So zimah leikasha, it's not difficult. Why? Ha, this teaching that we just quoted of Rava and Tumura is the akdish kula, is where you sanctify the whole animal, the whole ram, for its monetary value. Then we say then it automatically transfers into a physical sanctity because there's only one migui. There's only one transfer that you have to say it and say, oh, since it has a monetary sanctity and it's fit to be brought as a carbon, so then it's going to have a physical sanctity. But ha, the previous price that we're discussing is the Akdish Chad Aver, is we only sanctified one limb, like we described, where we're saying that if he's saying the head of the cow, it should be for its monetary value to buy a carbon oilah. They were not going to say, first of all, okay, since you sanctified one limb, okay, so we're going to say the whole animal sanctified. And then another migui, and say, okay, now that it has a monetary sanctity, it should have a physical sanctity, because tre migui, we don't say two senses. We don't say, oh, since head, whole body. Oh, whole body monetary, oh, then physical. That we don't do, and therefore it's not a difficulty. You're right. If you have the whole animal monetary sanctity, then it will transfer into a physical sanctity. Well, that has to Gemara. But actually, even one limb, we actually did have this question. Now, Rashi says Lamar, because the Girs over there is actually Rava, at the end of the first Perek of the Tumura, but Agamar quotes it as Dibay Rabba. The Rabba asked this question. Hikdash Evil, the dumb of Mahu, if someone sanctifies one limb for its monetary sanctity, what's the halacha? Would you say that the whole animal is going to be sanctified a physical sanctity? In other words, he was asking exactly this question. Do we say, first of all, since you say that one limb is sanctified for its monetary sanctity, okay, then it's going to automatically transpose into a physical sanctity. Oh, and then once one limb has a physical sanctity, then we say, then it transposes and it then manifests throughout the whole animal into a physical sanctity. Or do you say, no, tri migui le minan, that you're not going to say two miguis. Now, but that's what the Gemara's question is. If it's true what we're saying up until now, so then what do you mean? Let Rabbah have answered his question from the Braisa that you see that you can't do that because the Braisa says, oh, Hekdesh only gets the head of the cow. And you're explaining that what's the case? That it's Kachem Mizbeach. And that, but it was said, Lidmei of Kachem Mizbeach. Well, that's exactly the case he's asking. Let him have resolved this question from the Braisa. See that you can't. So the Gemara, no, it's not difficult. Because Ki Bailam, when did we have this question that Rabbah had asked it and not resolved it from the Braisa, is Bitam, by an unblemished animal. Where there you could say that ultimately a physical sanctity could take effect in it because it is fit to be brought as a carbon itself. So you could say, since the head has monetary, then it goes into physical, and once a part of the animal is physical, Shana Shamat Luya, but then it spreads throughout the whole animal. But Hach, over here in the Braisa, we're explaining that the sanctity will not spread throughout the whole animal. Hekdesh will only get the head. Is Bibal Mum. We're talking about where the animal is blemished. Where a blemished animal is not fit as to be brought as a carbon itself, because Dumi de Chamar. We see that the Braisa compares three different cases, an Evet, a Chamar, and a cow. And the Chamar is not fit for its own entity to be sacrificed in Mizbeach. And that's the case of the cow. So therefore, that's why we say it doesn't spread throughout, and it's only going to be the head that's sanctified. But the Gemara says, what do you mean? Bal mum nami boi boi lan. The Gemara continues asking, he says, even the case you're describing in the Braisa, that it's blemished, even that we had a question. Because the Baya Rabba asked, Demei Reishi legabe Mizbeach Mahu. He said, if someone says the monetary value of my head should be used to sacrifice something on Mizbeach, what's the halacha? Would we say over there that's needed mechvaydai? The head, so the whole person depends on the head. If the head would be cut off, the person wouldn't live. So therefore it's like he was makdish his whole body's value to buy a carbon. Or would we say he's not needed mechvaydai, then he would only give half the monies? Now the question is, and there's no greater, quote, bal mum for the Mizbeach than a person, because a person is not being sacrificed on the Mizbeach, just like a blemished animal. And still we see Rabbi asked the question, would you say that it's manifest throughout? Why? Let him resolve it from the Brisa. You see that you're not needing Mechvaydai when it's something that's a bal mum, when something that's not going to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach itself. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ki boilon, when did we have this question from Rabba? Mekmei da ashma l'homas nitna, before we heard this brisa. Hashta de shama homas nitna, but now that we know this brisa, let me boilon, Rabba would never have had the question, because it would be obvious that the way we're describing the case, that it's for Kedushas Mizbeach, and it's Ledmei, and it's Balmum, and the brisa says, no, the head just only gets the head, that we see that's not mispashed throughout the whole body. We would know that the person that, in this case, when he says, Demei Rish Lega Mizbeach, that obviously he wouldn't give his whole value, he would only give the value of his head, of half himself, to Hekdish, but not the whole thing. Now the Gemara says, going back to this teaching, Gufa, and we quoted Bayi Rabbi, that Rabbi had this question, which again was only pre-brisa. Post-brisa, we know that obviously it's not going to be the whole thing. But pre-brisa, Rabbi had asked, he wanted to know, if someone says, the monetary value of my head to be used with that proceeds to go ahead and buy a carbon from the Mizbeach, what's the halacha? What was the question? So as we explained, do we say that, okay, we're going to evaluate him, that his whole value of his whole body, because it's something Shana Shemet Luyiboy, and he has to give his whole value to buy a carbon from the Mizbeach? Or would we not say? We say only half of him does he have to give to the value to the Mizbeach. What's the question? On the one hand, lo yashkechen, we don't find anywhere a monetary a vow anywhere bedamim that's a monetary vow, which here he's giving a monetary vow, he's not actually bringing himself as a carbon. We don't find anywhere by monetary vow that we don't evaluate based on davar shanashama tluyiboy, and therefore we would say that he has to give his whole value. Because here we have an interesting case. It's not Erichin. It's not really a classic Nedarim either, because both of those, Erichin and Nedarim, are for its, it goes to the Bedek Abayis. Here, you're right, it's a monetary vow, which is usually Nidin Mechvaydai, but the proceeds are being used to buy something from Mizbeach, which that's not where the halacha was said for Nefashis, Adava Shamashamat Luyibai. That was regarding Bedek Abayis. This is for the Mizbeach. So the question is, would we say over here Nidin Mechvaydai, or would we not? Take it, let it stand. Similar question. Bayi Rava says, let's say someone says, Erki Olai L'Gam Mizbeach. My Erichin, not like there was just the head. He says, yeah, my whole self, my Erichin value, should be used for the proceeds to purchase a carbon from Mizbeach. Which again, generally, someone says, Erki Olai, he has to give his value to the Bedek Abayis, to the temple upkeep. Here he's saying, I want my Erichin, whatever the Torah says for his age and gender, for the Mizbeach, to buy a carbon. Ma, what's the halacha? What's the question? Do we say, Nidin Mehesig Yad, that he's going to be judged and evaluated according to the how much money he has, which is prorated based on how much he could afford, even regarding such a vow or donation, like in this situation where it's not going for Bedek Abayis, but rather it's going for Kachay Mizbeach? Or maybe he wouldn't have that disposition of being let off the hook, of providing less, according to how much money he could afford. What's the question? On the one hand, we don't find anywhere that there's an erech vow that doesn't get allowed to be based on how much money on the sliding scale, how much he could afford, because that's an inherent halacha in the parasha of erech. On the one hand, because this is an interesting new case, it's a combo, but you don't find anywhere something that's going to be used for the altar, the mifrik ele b'shavya. Generally, karbanos are the only things brought on the Mizbeach, and generally that's what you sanctify. There you can only redeem something based on the actual value. There's no hesegad over there. So what would you say over here where it's erki for the Mizbeach? Says Igmar, take it, let it stand. Similar question, Boi Rav Ashi. Says, Hikdish Shadei Achuz L'Gam Mizbeach. If someone sanctifies his ancestral field, which was passed through the family from the days of Yeshua Benon when they entered in Eretz Yisrael, he makes it Hikdish, his ancestral field, but, although generally Hikdish is the Bedek Abayis, he says L'Gam Mizbeach. Mean to say that the proceeds of the sale of the sanctity of this field, its monetary value, should be used to purchase a carbon oil of the Mizbeach. Ma, what's the halacha? If he wants to redeem this field, how is he going to redeem it? No, because it's obvious to us that if he would do it in the classic way of being makdish, that it goes to bedek habayis, he would redeem it in the area of how much you plant a chaymer, which is a certain measurement of barley. You would redeem it with 50 silver shkalim, because that's exactly a kasev, no matter how much that field is worth. But the question over here is, do we say, no, we don't find an ancestral field in the Torah that is redeemed, ella beis zerach chaymer sa'arim mechamishim shekel kasev. That's how we find that an area of how much you plant a chaymer of barley, that you redeem it with 50 silver shkalim, because in the Torah we only find the sanctity of the steachuza for the bedek habayis. And generally, because when someone's makdish something, it goes to bedek habayis. So therefore, even when he specifies that the proceeds should go to the altar, but the redemption is still going to be that amount of money. Or maybe do you say, no, you don't find something that's going to be used to sacrifice in the Mizbeach, you only find that it's redeemed according to its actual value. Because generally, the only thing that you find that's sacrificed in the Mizbeach are animals. And there most definitely, Torah does not give a preset amount how much its redemption is. Rather, it's when something becomes blemished, you redeem it according to its actual value. And maybe here also, you're going to have to redeem it according to the field's actual value. So the Gemara takes that it stands not clear with these interesting combo cases, which one is the primary. Do you go based on the Mizbeach element, or do you go based on all these different cases of the Erechin in regards to how much you're going to go ahead and redeem it? Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding at the end that we spoke about, that there are certain cases that are not full-fledged in being Marech and Erech and Noidir and Nidir. There are certain types of situations where the person is not going to have all of these elements. So the Mishnah says, Pachas meben chaydish, a child less than 1 month old. So neither, he could be the subject of a neder vow, where if someone else says on this baby that says, I want to take this monetary value of this child and give that value to Hekdish. So he has to give whatever value where a child does have value, even if he's a little baby. Avalei nerach. But he's not the subject of an Erechin vow, because the Torah, when it talks about the Erechin, doesn't say that there's an Erechin value only from a child that's a month and older. So therefore, there's no Erechin vow if he's less than a month. Now, related to this halacha, Tanban learned a brisa. Hamarech poches meben chadish. Someone actually goes and says, this 15-day-old child, he says, I want to go ahead and give an Erechin on this child that's less than a month old. So Rameh Aimi says, we know there's no Erechin. He says, Nisen damav. He gives how much money this child would be worth if you would sell him in the marketplace, his monetary value. He hasn't said anything. He took Erechin vow, and there's no Erechin. It doesn't give anything to Hekdash. Says the Gemara, regarding what are they disagreeing? So the Gemara says, Remeir Savir, Remeir held, ain't other mighty devar v'levatel. A person doesn't say words that have no value, have for nothing. Now, because Yedea, she'ain't Erechin, l'pachas me'ben chadish, he knows, as everyone knows, you read a pasuk in Chumash, that there's no Erechin value for a child less than a month old. But he was saying, I want to give the Erechin of this child less than a month. So rather, v'gam of amal Hashem dam, since a person doesn't say something for nothing, he really concluded that he really wanted to do was to give its monetary value, which a child less than a month has monetary value if it was sold as a slave in the marketplace. But Rabban held, no, a person would say something for nothing, and therefore he said something for nothing, and therefore he doesn't give anything. Says the Gemara, k'mat naz l'hod amar Rav Gidla amar Rav. According to whom of these Tanoim is the following teaching of Rav? Rav said, ha'ime erich kli alayv. Someone says, the erich of this value is upon me to give to Hekdash. That nice and dumb, he gives the monetary value of that vessel to Hekdash. Says the Gemara, that's Kremer, who he says that a person doesn't say something for nothing, and everyone knows no Erechin value for a vessel, because the Torah says it's only on the fushes, on souls, on living things, on people, and obviously his intention was to give it for the monetary value. Says the Gemara, she did the Kremer, obviously it's like Kremer, why do you have to say, who is it going like? Obviously it's like Kremer. Says the Gemara, no, what would you say, if like Rabban seem like Rabbanon, why? Because you could say, Hasim over there in this price that we brought before, when the child is less than a month old, maybe you could say over there that the Rabbanan said the person is going to be exempt, because you could say that even if a person wouldn't say words in vain, but you could say that would only be where a person knows that his words are in vain. Because you could say that even if you're going to say that a person doesn't say his words in vain, and the Rabbanan would agree to that principle of Remeir, but you could say that's only where a person knows that his words are in vain. But here, in the case of when the child is less than a month old, you could say the Rabban held, no, who did tai? He made an error. Savar kihecha de ikke erchen leben chaydish. He thought, just like there's the erchen value for a child that's a month old, a little baby, ikonami lepachas ben chaydish. He thought that there's also an erchen value for a child less than a month. Now, the truth is, a child less than a month, the Torah says, doesn't have an erchen value. But it's going to come out that the person made an error in what he was being makdish. Now, So therefore, it's not going to have erichin because it doesn't have erichin. And additionally, his intention was not for monetary value because he really thought that there's going to be erichin, just like a child a few days older has an erichin value. Now, so therefore, over there, I could tell you that the Rabbanan were saying that, okay, he didn't say anything because he really made a mistake. But over here in the case that Rav Gidlam Rav is saying regarding a vessel, I would say that no, even Rabban would agree that he's going to be obligated in the monetary value because Deleka Lamite, no one's making a mistake over there. Everyone knows no erich and value on a vessel. And that you're right, even the Rabban would agree that he conclusively was doing it for the intention of its monetary value. That's what the Gemara was coming to tell us, that no, Rav Gidlam Rav is going like Rameh and not like Rabbanan. Because the reason of the Rabbanan is no, because a person would be Moitzei Dvar V'Batala. And even if he knows that his words are in vain, he would still say it. And therefore, even if he says Erech Kli Alai, he would, according to Rabbanan, it wouldn't have any significance whatsoever, and he wouldn't have to give the monetary value of the vessel. Now the Gemara continues on the base and says, wait, if that's the case, Rameyim, that since you're saying the teaching of Rav is going like Rameyim and not like Rabbanan, so then Lamai Yitzruch, then what was the necessity of Rav Gidlam Rav saying this teaching to say, oh, that you're going to give the monetary value of the vessel to Hekdesh? Obviously, if in the case over there where you could say when the child's less than a month old, that maybe the person made a mistake and he really didn't even intend to give it for its monetary value. He just thought that just like a child a few days older has an erichin value, so to this 25-day-old baby also has an erichin value, and still we find Rameyim holds that you have to give the damim. So here, where a person knows that there's no erich for the vessel, obviously his intention was to give it for a damim. Why did Rav Gidlam Rav have to tell us this case of Kli? So I was like, no, Madatim, what would you say? That actually, time of Rameyim Hasam, the reason of Rameyim over there, less than a month old, is actually because the gazer pachas mi ben chaydish ata ben chaydish. Not necessarily would we say it's because a person not might devour the vatala. We would say simply it's a rabbinic decree that if we don't make you give the value of a child less than a month old, let's say by a few days, that then the person might take on a child that's 32 days old, and those would not give the value because he's going to say, a baby, you don't have to give anything. And therefore, we would make you give at least the monetary value when the child is less than a month old. But over here, regarding a vessel, there's no decree of confusing a child, a person with a vessel, Amaloi. I would say actually the Rameh would hold that you wouldn't have to give the damim. Kamash Malan, that's why we have to tell you, and this was the teaching of Gidlam Rav, that time of the Rameh is the Ein Odomaitse Dvar L'Vatala, because a person doesn't say his words in vain. And Loishna Hacha, Loishna Hacha, therefore it doesn't make a difference if it's a child that's 15 days old, or even a vessel. A person is saying it for a reason, and the reason must be because he knows that there's no Erichin, and must be he's doing it for its monetary value, which would apply even by a vessel. Now the Gemara similarly asks and says, Kaman Aslaha the Amar Rabba Bar Yosef Amar Rav, Amri Lord, some say it's Amar Vyevu Bar Yosef Amar Rav, that a makdish behemoth chaveret, someone is makdish sanctifies his friend's animal, which you can't sanctify someone else's things, you can sanctify your own thing, but he's sanctifying his friend's animal. So says Rav, noisin demel. So he has to give the monetary value of that friend's animal to Hekdesh. Kaman, who's that like? Says the Gemara, it's Kreb Meir. Because a person knows he can't sanctify something that's not his, and therefore obviously his intention was to give its monetary value to Hekdesh. So the Gemara asks, Ha'amra Rav Chadazim, this is Rav, and Rav already said this once before, like we just quoted. Don't remember Gidlam Rav? He says, Ha'ayim Erich Kli Alai, Nesin Dama. If someone says, I'm taking the Erichin of this vessel on myself, he has to give the monetary value, because he knows he can't give Erichin, and he's conclusively doing it for Dama. So this is the same teaching of enhancing under Meir's Halacha. Why do you have to say it again? Says Gemara, Madatim, what would you say? No. Hasim hu diyadea she'in erich l'kli. The previous halacha from Gidlam Rav, a person knows there's no erichin for a vessel, but come of ha'am l'shem dam, and therefore obviously his intention was to go ahead and do for monetary value, because he's going based on the opinion of a mayor, where a person doesn't say his words in vain. Av behema debas mikdashi, but regarding his friend's animal, where an animal is something that it itself could be sanctified, so ikla neymu d'hachi kamid, you could say that this is what the person was saying. He was saying, look, if I tell my friend, the owner of that animal, that I want to sanctify it to Hekdesh, so mezavn lo neheli, then he'll sell it to me. So tikdish lo mahashto v'akrava, so you know what I'll do? I'll sanctify it now, and then when I buy it from him subsequently, then I'll sacrifice it. But maybe really his intention was to actually sanctify the body of that animal itself, because that was his mistake. He thought that he could sanctify it now, and then when he'll actually get it, then he'll be able to sacrifice it. But his intention wasn't to be sanctify the monetary value as an obligation to give that monetary value to Hekdesh. And therefore, actually, he wouldn't have to give anything to Hekdesh because, again, his actual sanctity does not take effect on the body of the animal because he doesn't own it right now. And also his intention was not for the monetary value. And therefore maybe I would say he doesn't have to give anything. Kamash Malan, that's what this second teaching of Rabbi is coming to say, that no, we don't say that he made this mistake. A person knows that his sanctity cannot take effect on something that he doesn't own right now. And therefore we know that his intention was to go ahead and give its monetary value to Hekdesh, and that was the added chiddush of this teaching of Rabbi. Now, Amar Vashi, he makes a qualification in this. He says, but who the Amar Allah? But the second teaching of Rav is only if he said that this animal of my friend is a lie, is incumbent upon me to bring as a carbon. Now, obviously he can't be makdish his friend's animal. So you can interpret that the lie was taking a nether of that value, the monetary value of this friend's animal to give that value to Hekdesh, because like we said, he's not doing the actual animal itself because he knows he can't sanctify his friend's animal. But it's an accepting responsibility of the monetary value. But if he says this animal, he doesn't say a lie. Rather, he says this animal is a carbon oil. So then, lie though. Then they didn't say anything because then you can't interpret it as a vow of a monetary vow neder that he's taking because he's not taking it at that responsibility. He's saying this is Hekdesh. This is not Hekdesh, and he's not taking the monetary value. He's saying this is Hekdesh, and that doesn't take effect, and therefore then his words will have no significance, and then he's not going to give anything to Hekdesh. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding the Peturim, the cases that have exemptions of certain categories in these halachas of Erech. So the Mishnah says, actually opposite Machlekes, regarding a non-Jew. So Remeo Omer, he says, Nerach. He could be the subject of an Erech and Vavav. Let's say a Yisrael says that the non-Jew's Erech is on me, so he has to give the Erech of that non-Jew according to the gender and the years of that non-Jew. Avloi Marach. But he cannot take the Erechin vow himself. So if the non-Jew says, my Erechin is on me, or the Erechin of some other person is on me, he hasn't said anything. Yudami says the opposite. He says, Meirich. He could take the Erechin vow. So if he says on the Yisrael, that Jew's Erech is on me, he has to give that value. Avalei Nerech, but he cannot be the subject of an Erechin vow. So if he says, my Erech is on me, then he doesn't have an Erech. Or even if a Yisrael says on the non-Jew that non-Jew's Erech is on me, he hasn't said anything. Now, that's all regards to Erechim. But both of them agree that a non-Jew could take a neder and be the subject of a neder vow, which is regarding the monetary value of a non-Jew. Now, turn about the Braisa. The Pasuk says, B'nei Yisrael. It talks about Erechim and says the Jewish people, which teaches us that their Marichim, that a Jew could take an Erech vow, but Ve'eino Evdi Kechav Marichim, but a non-Jew cannot take an Erech vow. Now, Yachaloi Yunarachan, so you would think they wouldn't be the subject of Erechim Vow either. Tamalem Ish, the same Pasuk says, a person, which sounds like any type of a person, even a non-Jew, could be the subject of an Erechim Vow. That's the Rimeir, as we said in the Mishnah. Now, Amr Meir, he explains himself. He says, now, V'chima Acha Shemikri Echen Marba Umikri Echen Mamayit. Now, since there's one Pasuk, I mean, they're both in the same Pasuk, there's one Pasuk that's inclusionary, which is Ish. There's one Pasuk, meaning a term in the Pasuk, that's exclusionary, which is B'nai Yisrael. So, why do I say the Nerech Vilei Marech? Why am I excluding the non-Jew from taking the Erechin, but including him in being the subject of Erech Vow? So, says Rameh, I'll tell you. Because we find the Pasuk is more inclusionary in those who could be the subject of Erechin Vow more than those who could take the Erechin Vow. Why? You have three types of cases: the deaf mute, the mentally deranged, the minor, who are nerech avolei marichin. They're included in being the subject of erech and vow, but they cannot take the erech and vow, and therefore we're going to more include a non-Jew to be nerech, but not to be marich. That's Rameir. Rabbi Yudaim, he says the opposite, as we said in the Mishnah. He says, no, it says in the Pasuk, B'nei Yisrael, that they're nerechim. To be the subject of erech and vow, you have to be a Jewish person. A non-Jew cannot be the subject of erech and vow. Now, and you would think that he can't even take an Erech vow himself. It says a person, any type of person, that even a non-Jew could go ahead and take an Erech vow. Now, Amr Yehuda explains himself. Since one part of the Pasuk is inclusionary, one part is exclusionary, why do I say the non-Jew could take the Erech vow, but cannot be the subject of Erech vow? So he says, he says the opposite of Meir. He says, you know what? The Pasuk actually includes more cases that one could take the vow than to be the subject of the vow. Why? Shari tum de vadreginus. You have a case of a tum de vadreginus where either we don't see any signs of the gender or both gender signs in a person. The halacha is, as we explained in the previous daf, marichin avolay nerachin. They could take the erechim vow, but they cannot be the subject of erechim vow. So therefore, when we're including a non-Jew and excluding, we're going to include him to be marich, but that he can't be nerach. Now, regarding this machlekes, Amar Rabbi says, hilchaseh de remeir mistabra, the halachic conclusion of remeir is logical that that's what the halacha would be, but taimilei mistabra, but his reasoning, how he gets to that, is not logical. Whereas time of Rabbi Yehuda Mistabra, the logic of Rabbi Yehuda is his reasoning is logical, but Hilchaseh Mistabra, but his actual halachic conclusion is not logical. As the Gemara explains, Hilchaseh Remeir Mistabra, the halachic conclusion of Remeir is logical, where he says that a non-Jew cannot take the Erech vow, although he could be the subject of the Erech vow, is because we find the pasuk in Ezra that says, Loy lechem v'lanu livnei space lekeinu. That Nehemiah said to the non-Jews, it's not for you and us to go ahead and build the house of Hashem our God, which in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, they were building the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't go ahead and accept the donations for the Beit HaGamayis, for the temple upkeep, to build the Beis HaMikdash from the non-Jews. So you see that we don't have non-Jews being Meirich, where the Erechim Valley goes for Beit HaGamayis, so therefore we see the halacha of Remeir is logical, that we're not going to have them be Meirich. To be Meirich, to be the subject? Yeah, they can be the subject. But for them to go and give towards the Beit HaGamayis, we see from the pasuk that we don't take from them. But time he missed out. But his reasoning why he came to the halacha is not logical, because the kamaisi lemecher shad v'katan. What was his proof? He said, "Oh, that you see, the Torah has more that are not meirich than being nerach, because we find the cher shad v'katan that they can't be meirich, although they can be nerach. So therefore, that's why also the non-Jew will say he can be nerach, but he can't be meirich." And that says the Gemara. Says Rava, no, Shani Chereshet V'Katan, you can't learn it off from Chereshet V'Katan. They're different because Delav B'nei Deyaninu. They don't have intelligence. As we find that a Chereshet V'Katan, they can't take a Neder vow either, and they can't be Makdish things. But a non-Jew, then they could be Neder and Makdish. They could take a monetary vow and they could sanctify things to the Beis HaMikdash. As the Mishnah says that everyone agrees, including the mayor, that they could be Neder and Neder. And therefore, to the contrary, I would say that a non-Jew also could be Marach. If not, that we had the pasuk, which tells us Leilachem Volano, which is written in Sefer Ezra, which the non-Jews wanted to donate and help building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and that Nechemi Mechachal, he told to them, no, Leilachem Volano, Livnes, we're the only ones that are going to build it. So the halacha conclusion is logical, but his reasoning is not. And so too, says Rava, Taimid Rabbi Yehuda Mistabra. The reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda was logical, which most definitely is more logical to explain that when we're excluding in the pasuk the non-Jews, we're going to exclude them from being the subject, and the inclusionary would include them that they could be Meirich. Why? Because the Kamaisi limit Tumd Vadreginus. His proof was from Tumd Vadreginus, which the Avogav de B'nei Dein, and although Tumd Vadreginus, they're adults and they're people who have intelligence, that's the same type of category as a non-Jew, which would make sense to say that they would have the same halacha Tumd Vadreginus, which they could be Meirich, and not Nerachin. Because we find that Miat and Rachmana, that the Torah excludes the Tumd Vadreginus, where the Pasuk says, as we explained in the previous episode, Hazach, or the male, which from the extra hey we expound, has to be a definitive male and not a Tumd Vadreginus. And the Akam is the same, that he's also B'nai Deir. So we would say he's the same thing as Tumd Vadreginus, which he can be Meirich V'lei Nerachim. But Hilchaseh L'mastaba, but his halachic conclusion is not logical, because most definitely, as we said before, no, the non-Jew is not going to be able to take the Erechim vow. Why? Because like we said, the Erechim value goes to the Beit HaGabayis, to the temple upkeep. And the Pasuk is the Chsiv that tells us, Loy lechem v'lanu livnei space lekeinu, know that we don't take money for the temple upkeep from the non-Jew. And therefore, although his reasoning is logical, but the halachic conclusion is going to be like your mayor, that the Akum could be Nerech, but they're not going to be Marifim. Now the Gemara asks, and then Rabbi Yehuda, who he said that Akam are Marichin, they could take an Erech Vow, which then the proceeds go to the Beit HaGabayis. Hay loy lechem v'lanu my avodli. What does he do with this pasuk that says, we don't take from you non-Jews to build the Beis HaMikdash, to have the temple upkeep? How does he explain the pasuk? So Rav Chisda, Amar Avimi, he says, this attribute that says that the non-Jew could be Marich, it's not that it's going to actually go to the temple upkeep, because this that says in the pasuk, loy lechem v'lanu, you're right, it's going to be sanctified, but the Erechay Nignas, it will have an Erechim vow, but it's going to be buried. It's going to be hidden because it's forbidden to have benefit from it. So yeah, he's Meirich, but it's still Loy Lechem V'lanu. It's still not going to go to actual building and the temple upkeep. So the Gemara asks in this interpretation, well, El Miat, but if that's the case, that you're saying that, oh, although he says that the Akum could be Meirich, but it's going to be thrown away, it's going to be wasted, it's not going towards anything of Hektish. So then the halacha should be that Lo Yimalu Boy, that if someone has benefit from the Erech of a non-Jew, he shouldn't be chayav a carbon meila for misappropriation. Why? Because it's not, which actually in Braisa we learned, that says chomesh chatois hamesis. It's five types of carbon chatas that have to be left to die. Which as the Gemara says in Masechtas Temura, one of them is the child of a karma chatas, or the tumur of a karma chatas. There's five different cases. Or umois haholchis liyam amelech, or money that has to be thrown to the Dead Sea, which is like the cases of when the chatas that the owner dies, where the halacha is that the animal has to die. And the same thing is regarding the monetary value of those chatois, they have to be thrown away. Now the halacha regarding those cases are loinenen. Initially, it wasn't all have benefit because ultimately these things were sanctified. You can't use anything with the chatas, but it was sanctified. However, v'loy moylin, if a person does have benefit from them, says it's not going to be chayav a carbon of me'ilah. Why? Because it doesn't qualify for the carbon me'ilah, which the pasuk says in Mikahei, mikdashei Hashem. It's not mikdashei Hashem because it's going to be thrown away. It's not going towards the Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash and the sanctity. So therefore, there's no carbon me'ilah. So then the question is, since you're telling me that the erich of an akum, which goes to Bedi Gabbai, doesn't go to Bedi Gabbai, it has a sanctity, but it's not going to go. So then, Alamatani Gabi Kalchi Avid Kechavim, then why do we learn regarding things that a non-Jew sanctifies, which is taught in Zvachim, Dav Memheim Abeis, that says as follows. The Braisa says, when did we say that there's not going to be Me'ilah by things that a non-Jew sanctifies? That's only, says the Braisa, B'kachim Mizbech. That's regarding when a non-Jew sanctified something to be brought as a carbon on the Mizbech. So why is there no Me'ilah over there? Because we learn that the laws of Me'ilah are Gzereshavim, the laws of Truma, which both of them say the word Chet. And we learn, just like Truma, only applies the death by a Truma that Yisrael does, because explicitly the Pasuk says, when you get death for misappropriation of Truma, it says, V'lo yichalu es kodra b'nei Yisrael, don't desecrate the sanctity of the Jewish people, only by a Jew's Truma. So to Me'ilah is only going to apply only by kodra Yisrael. So, says the Braisa, but regarding something that was sanctified by a non-Jew of Bedeka Bayis, which doesn't go to the Mizbech, which goes to the temple upkeep, there says the Braisa, Mayil and Ben, there is going to be the halacha misappropriation. The Gemara there explains, what's the reason? Because the Gemara there says, this that we learned out, the laws of Me'ilah, Chet from Truma, that's only similar to what Truma is, which Truma has a physical sanctity. But regarding monetary sanctity, we don't learn that from Truma. So the question of the Gemara is, so here that you're saying that the Erichin, which is Bedi Gabayis, of the non-Jew, goes Le'ibud, it's going to be buried. So then, why are we saying that in that Braisa that it's going to be Me'ilin, Mechayev HaKarb Me'ilah? But why? It's Hoylech Le'ibud. And you said with any sanctity of the Bedi Gabayis, when it goes Le'ibud over Mizbeach, then there's no Karb Me'ilah. And you're saying that here goes Le'Gneza. So Elam HaRava, rather Rava says a different interpretation. It says most definitely that when we say in Rabbi Huda that the Akum Amarichin, that not only does it become holy, it doesn't get thrown away. Yeah, it actually goes to the temple upkeep. So then how do we explain the Pasuk in Ezra, which tells us that they sent to the non-Jews and says, Loy lechem balanu, we're not going to take it. Don't you say that it does go to temple upkeep? So that was different. That was one time in history, Mishum Rifyun Yadayimhu. That was because of the weakening of the loosening of the hands, which means to say that the non-Jews at that time did not have good intentions. Rather, they wanted that the Jews should be dependent on them and their monetary support, and then they'll listen to their counsel, and they will delay the building of the Beis HaMikdash until they could then convince the King Kiresh not to build the Beis HaMikdash. So like it says in the Pasuk in Ezra, says, V'hi ama aretz, merapin yidei am Yehuda, that the people of the land, they were weakening the hands of the people of Judea, u'maval amaisim levinas, they were frightening them from building the Beis HaMikdash. That's why they said, we're not taking your money, because we don't want your dais, we don't want your opinions, we don't want you involved on the board at all. That's why. But in general, the halacha is, according to Yehuda, that of course, that the akum could be marichin, they could be obligated in the erech vow, which then goes to the temple upkeep, and they do give it. It was only at that time in history where we didn't want any money for the non-Jews, thus stopping the building of the second Beis HaMikdash.